Oh, that's too bad. That's just too bad. But it's the news, according to me. Oh, fine, happy Tuesday morning to you. This is 9:06. I know, almost 9:07 a.m. Tuesday morning, October 5th, 2021. And that's the way it was. I'm Kevin, your host, and that's the show. Talk to you tomorrow. See you later. Bye-bye, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that to you. I think I should just, I probably would do better just doing a show like that, where I just do the intro, and then I do the outro. Hello, goodbye. I bet I would have a million followers. There's a guy on YouTube. I can't remember his name at the moment. I'll find it here because he's always there because he's popular. And all he does is he gives a weather forecast. He looks out the window. He tells you what the weather is in California. And then he does the same thing again. Like an hour later, he does this thing, today's number. There's a bunch of ping pong balls with numbers on them. He stirs the numbers. It's a big event. He stirs the numbers and then he pulls out a ping pong ball with a number. That's today's number. I think the guy's got several hundred thousand followers. I'll find him here in a second. He's probably under my notifications because I have to listen to him every day. I don't actually. I just subscribed. I don't know why. I felt like I had to. There's been a couple times where he's done a few extra little ditties, extra things. That's usually kind of interesting. But you know, that's like once a month, maybe once every couple months. I don't even see him on my feed here right now, but he's. He'll be on. He'll be on probably during my show. He'll come on. He'll take all my listeners. What is the guy's name? Lawrence something or whatever his name is. I can't remember what his name is. Yeah, it's not in my direct feed. It's probably over here on the other side here someplace. Yeah, I don't see it. And I'm sure you really want to know what it is now because you don't know. Some of you probably are already subscribers to this guy. He's not political at all. I mean, I'm sure he is in his personal life because he's a Hollywood type guy. I guess he was involved in Hollywood quite a bit. So you know which side he probably falls on. But the guy's like 80 some years old, and good for him. You know, he's doing something every day. He's got a following on YouTube bigger than mine. And all he does is. Looks out his window, it tells you what the... So I'm kind of thinking, that's getting back to the original thing here. Kind of thinking maybe it would maybe do me some good to just do an intro and an outro and be done. I'd probably be more popular because that'd be my thing. You know, that's how this social media thing works. You do something that's crazy, stupid, kind of off the wall. And that's, you know, people will sign up for that. You'll get, you know, out of a billion people out there, there's going to be a couple hundred thousand that are just going to, oh, yeah, I better sign up for that and listen to that guy every day, just in case he screws one up. And, you know, because I've got this one little segment that's very small on my show, and I pretty much do it almost every day on my show, every time I have a show, I should say. It's called What's in My Cup. And so I tell you what's in my cup, and I'm sure that's probably why most of you tune in. And so I'm going to tell you right now what's in my cup. And what's more importantly, what's on my cup is kind of important. You can't see that because this is just an audio recording. For those of you who didn't realize that, I'm just letting you know. Because there are people out there who probably don't understand that they're probably sitting there looking at their computer screen or possibly their radio. And they're looking at it going, "When is that guy inside there? Is he inside that little box? Can I see him if I look inside there? Can he see me?" Yes, I can't. Actually, I'm going to let it out here. For the first time, yes, I can see you. even though you don't realize it. I can watch right through your device there. I got a little screen here that's got, it's as you're listening to me. Now, if you plug your ears, I can't see you anymore. If you can't hear me, I can't see you. That's how that works. But as long as you can hear me, I'm watching you. And get that finger out of your nose. Like right there. You know who I'm talking about. That's disgusting. Well, it's, you know, not that I don't do it. I just say it is. I do it too, but it's still disgusting. So, on my cup, I got this little gadget. I'm a gadget guy. Okay. I've got this little shop. I used to have a little business where I produced stuff. I produced some items. And that's why I left. I was an airline pilot. I left the airlines for because I started this business and it was going very well. And I thought, well, I can do this business now and I can make a lot of money and I can buy my own airplane, hire somebody for $5 an hour to fly me around instead of, you know, me doing the flying around. And then 2008 hit. And let's just say that market was destroyed, the market I was involved in. So I got out of that. So I ended up with this, I had this building that I bought. And about half of the space is office space. About the other half is a shop space. Kind of a garage type place. Actually, it was an old filling station at one time. And so that there's two doors that are, of course, it was all remodeled back in the 70s after it wasn't a gas station when I bought it. It was another kind of facility. This company that had a couple of trucks. And they went out and serviced stuff. And so the whole building, the whole shop area was all converted over to this really nice space with two bays, you know, to basically open up and you can pull vehicles in there. And so then when I got it, I turned it into a little more of a manufacturing facility to do my manufacturing for my stuff. And so I was doing that. And then, of course, that all fell apart. Then it has since become just nothing but a big man cave, where I have, you know, all my tools, and I've built stuff. I built a 3D printer. I built a CNC plasma torch table. I didn't build a laser, but I bought a laser graver and cutter, 100 watt, fairly large table type thing. It's in a cabinet, but it's, you know, it's got a fairly large cutting surface. Got a CNC router, small one. I'd like to get a much bigger one, actually. But I'm going to build one because the prices are ridiculous. I can build one and build it just as well. So that's what I'm going to do for about, you know, a third the price or less. And it's basically the same as a CNC plasma torch table. You just have to build a little bit differently in terms of the stress loads and that kind of thing on it. Then you put your router on there. It just does everything the same. I also converted a mill. A vertical bench mill. I converted over to CNC. I also did I've got a little lathe. And I had converted it over to CNC, and then I'm changing it out now. I'm redoing. I'm putting a ball screw onto the cross slide instead of the old worm screw, because that was going to wear out. It hadn't worn out yet, but I'm sure it was going to. Especially if you do any kind of production work. I'm not planning on doing any production work. I just kind of do some one-off stuff, which. Kind of for the CNC, the purpose of CNC is more for production. It's not really for one-off work. I could do one-off, but I was kind of in the midst of doing some small quantities of manufacturing for some test products type thing for one of my, it was my nephew. And we were working on a little business venture at one point. And thought we were going to have to be doing some small production. I mean, once we got, you know, some prototypes made and some test marketing done, we were going to eventually scale up to hiring out the machine work until the point where we could afford our own CNC mill lathe type thing, whatever we're going to do. And then we never got to that point because the government put a kibosh on that particular industry. We were messing around with, of course. Another story of tragedy. Chalk it up to learning experience, learning to not do that. So all this to say that I have this man cave where I have all these tools. And of course, now the other half of it is all office space. So I've got a recording studio in there, and I do some of that kind of work. I do some music projects. I've got a drum room. One of the offices converted over to just drums. And then another one that's, it's more like a group recording type room where you can get several people in there and you can record all at the same time. That one's kind of, I haven't done much with music projects lately, so that has become more of a storage room more than anything. And then I've got another kind of a front office area, and I've turned that into a video production area where I've got green screen and I've got all kinds of stuff there. I've got a kind of stuff there. And I've also got a my main studio where I do most of my recording for my audio work, for my voiceover work, and as well as my podcasts. I've got that's just an office, a smaller office of its own that I use for that. And then I've got a main like a corner office type thing where that's mostly storage right now as well. But I'm going to be converting that over to more of a kind of a business office type thing where I can do some more of my business type stuff. And possibly have like a few things in there. I also have so in the process of all these gadgets, let's start getting back to this gadget guy thing. I've got this gadget thing where I've now gotten into vinyl cutting, cutting vinyl, stick on vinyl type stuff, either iron on vinyl or permanent temporary vinyl type stuff. And so you put it in this machine, and it's like a plotter. A little blade comes down and cuts the vinyl, and then it only cuts the vinyl part. It doesn't cut through the whole sheet, so the backing sheet is still there. And then you can peel the vinyl off and stick it on whatever you want to stick it on, or you can use the part that's not, you know, that's not the vinyl, the part, that other part, the weeded out part. You can use that as a stencil. You can put that down and paint, and then you can use it as, use a stencil or in a t-shirt type thing, whatever. So, I got this, I got into this other thing now that kind of led me into this. That's called sublimation. And I've got I went out and bought an EcoTank, Epson EcoTank printer, brand new. And I put sublimation ink in it. So now I can sublimate stuff. That's pretty exciting. I know. I'm sure all of you are pretty excited about that. I can print out a page of whatever I want. It's either black and white, or I can put color. I mean, it's got all colors. I mean, colors of the rainbow. You can print it out in the thing. And you print that out onto a sheet of paper. And what I did is I've got, with an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, you can actually print out three designs to put on a coffee cup, a coffee mug type thing. You have to have a special kind of coffee cup because it has to have a coating on it that can accept sublimation print, which is just polyurethane paint. And so this has got a poly coating on it. This cup I'm holding up here, looking at, showing you. I'm going to hold it up to the microphone here so you can see it. And it has a background. So I printed this. I can print three of them on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, so I can do that. So I can do three cups with one. Anyway, so I did this. So I got this little heat press as well. So I got this little cup heat press thing. I also have a t-shirt print press so I can make t-shirts. And I've got a little thing you can put it on flat surfaces like plates or discs of some sort, whatever you want to do. Put it on plastic, do whatever you want to do. Sublimate on all kinds of stuff. So then I got that thing. So that's what I'm drinking. I said all that because the cup that I'm using here has Lipton tea with sugar, honey, and a little bit of coconut oil in it. And that's what I got on here. But on the cup itself, I've got a sailboat. And I'm making these cups to put on the sailboat. So I'm going to make a set of them for the sailboat itself. Kind of making a whole... The reason I got the vinyl cutter was to cut my own vinyl letters out to put the name of the boat on the sailboat. So because it's... to get to buy letters, to have someone, you know, do all that for me and to do it right probably would have cost me about as much as I paid for the cutter. So I just went and got it myself. And I had a whole bunch of extra vinyl left over because a guy who was in a sign making business left me with a whole bunch of stuff And he took off for another country, and he just had all this stuff, and I was going to store it for him for a while. Well, then, you know, of course, he didn't really. He didn't really want it back. He came back into the States. Surprisingly, I was kind of surprised because that was kind of his thing. That's how he made his living. But anyway, I have all that stuff. So I have all this extra vinyl, rolls of vinyl. Most of it's still in good shape. And so of course it's all kind of weird colors, but some of it I could use. But the colors don't always matter. Sometimes if you're using it as a stencil, it doesn't matter what color it is. So I ended up getting this cutter, this vinyl cutter thing. I've been messing around with that. Well, that, you know, so I could put the name of the boat on there, and put the letters on the boat, do all that stuff. So I'm going to be doing that. Now, I also, in the process of doing that, I thought, well, if I had a sublimation printer, I can put iron-on vinyl on a T-shirt. But I don't really care for that as much. Some applications I like it, some I don't. It's kind of difficult to do really fine print with some of that kind of stuff. So it's a lot easier to do sublimation printing because you can just print it out on a piece of paper. Whatever's on that paper is going to sublimate over into the material, the substrate, whatever kind of material you got there that you're putting it on. Well, except for certain kinds of material. It won't do 100% cotton. Has issues with that because it kind of doesn't want to. You have to get it so hot to get in there. It kind of scorches. Which there's workarounds for that. You can spray stuff on the cotton and helps to work. Anyway, so I made these cups. Well, anyway, on this cup, it says, it's got the Hebrew letters, and I can't remember. There's a Vav and a Aleph. I don't remember what they all are. It's three letters, three Hebrew letters. And what it spells is Chesed, which is Chesed. It's pronounced Chesed or Chesed. That's the way I pronounce it anyway. And it's, so I've got this little, I've got the letters, the Hebrew letters, and underneath that I've got, you know, the English spelling, Chesed. And then under that, I got in parentheses, I've got the phonetic pronunciation. And then on the other side of the cup, there's this picture of it's a silhouette, a black and white little thing of my sailboat. It's on there. and then on the background is all this, it looks like it's like a water waves with a little splash at the end. And that wraps around the cup. And of course, all this stuff's printed on, top of that. So I printed all those out, and the cups were just plain white, and and you wrap this paper around it, you put it in a press, and it sublimates off onto the cup. Pretty amazing process. When you pull it off there, it's like, wow, I did that. Well, I made it happen, I guess. The ink did it, ink did it. Somebody else did all the stuff. I just, did the final thing. But so that's what I'm drinking out of. That's what I'm drinking out of this cup here. That's what I've got in my cup. That's what I have in my cup, and that's what's on my cup. So there you go. That's the show. And that ate up almost 18 minutes right there, 19 minutes of the show. There you go. And I'm more and more convinced I really need to get my conspiracy theory podcast going. I've got some episodes in the can, but you have to understand what I'm going to be doing with that show. I need to get about a week's worth or maybe even a month's worth of episodes. Actually, I really need a month's worth of episodes in the can before I roll that thing out, because it has to be very consistent, and it's got kind of a little different tone to it. Talks a little bit more about end time stuff during parts of it, but it also talks about just some of the past conspiracy theories, some of the wacky mystery type stuff that's happened, and whether or not there's any truth to it. And then that kind of ties in with some of the, of course, everybody knows about the JFK conspiracy theories, hangar, Area 51, Hangar 13, or whatever it is, Hangar 6, whatever it is out there, that kind of stuff. All the conspiracy theories, the Roswell thing, the banking industry. Some of the conspiracy theories about that. The New World Order, the Bilderbergers. And there's all kinds of other smaller ones that most people haven't heard about. But once you start digging into them, it's pretty easy to find them. So I'm going to bring those to people's. I'm just going to tell a little story every day, basically. And then on one day a week, there will be a major show it's more of a live show, a longer show that has more of the headlines of today and compared to, you know, big tech and some of the conspiracy theories about what's going on with the world. And it has more of a little bit more of a spiritual tone to it. In other words, last days type stuff for the apocalyptic revelation kind of end of the age kind of stuff. And what the Bible says about what's going on in the world. So that's my plan. Partially because I'm in the process of finishing up a book that talks about, it's called The Conspiracy with a question mark. The Conspiracy? Now, is there a conspiracy? What is this thing? Everybody talks about this, you know, they're talking about the New World Order and they're talking about all this stuff and they pointed all these different things. And so I'm putting that together a little bit with kind of an explanation of what I believe is actually, you know, the tagline of the book is called The Evidence of Things Unseen. And faith is the evidence of things unseen. It's in Scripture. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. But there's also evidence of things unseen that also relate to things in the kingdom and things that are of the other kingdom of darkness, that is. So, anyway, that being said, that was my desk. I have a drawer that apparently needs some oiling because that's pretty noisy. So we, because yesterday, I guess this big thing, Facebook, apparently, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, I guess all had some kind of a crash. And everybody's blaming it on Facebook. And I guess one of the things that happened, I guess, was that it also affected T-Mobile and Verizon and a bunch of other companies as well, Google, because of their tie to it. Now, when stuff like this happens, I guarantee you it probably was not by accident. There is some theory, speculation out there that when big tech gets to a certain point, has enough control over information, you notice that a lot of things are going paperless. Everything is going online. Your whole life is going online. Pictures, all going into the cloud, so to speak. Those are servers. It's not just out there in some kind of transmitted ethosphere. They like to make it sound like it's going out into some kind of biosphere thing where it's just hanging out there in the air. That's not what's happening. It's being put onto servers. These are hard, like big memory, like hard drives. That's what a server is. It's just information stored. And the server itself is made up of a network of what I call it cascading, where you have kind of a group of hard drives, and they all mirror each other. So there's, if one crashes, the other ones will go. Okay. And usually they're in different locations, typically. So not for smaller operations. Like I could have a server here at my home, and it would just be a server, possibly, I think it's called a RAID system, where you have, it's an RAID system, where you have multiple servers that all mirror each other. In other words, you have anything that's stored on this one is also stored on the other one, just in case the one crashes. So that way you have a backup of that information. At least that's the way you should do it. Now, some people have even three or four in case there's major issues. And then you have usually when you get to that point, you're having other servers at different locations. So you'll have one at one particular facility in case that whole facility goes up in flames, the other facility. And the way the cloud works in general, like the iCloud, that kind of thing, there are several facilities that are all, and then all those facilities have mirroring technology as well. So there's multiple servers at each of those facilities, and they all mirror everything that's going on. So can you imagine the amount of data that's going on out there? Some of you would say data. I say data. So you have all this data out there, and it's all being mirrored all over the place. And that way, if one facility happens to go up, the other one supposedly, theoretically, was going to keep going. So what happens, though, is there in the main operating system of this whole thing, there are weaknesses. There are issues, or links in the chain, if you so to speak. And the more these things become interconnected between Facebook and Google and Verizon and the communications networks, the more chance there is for one of those links to come flying off and hit some other gear somewhere. And, I'm just talking about it in terms of machine kind of related, relatively to, type thing. So when all that happens, I'm just going to sit here and drink tea and hot chocolate and apple cider. Sweet tea. That's what I'm going to do. So we have all this this going on, I guess, yesterday. And so it came back up again. And it's interesting stuff. Very interesting. Now, the dangers of where we're headed with all of the information stuff and how connected we are. And everybody carries around a little device that pretty much has their whole life in it. Try going a day without your phone. See how that works out for you. It's getting more and more difficult. Let's just say that. It can be done. In fact, it's probably good for you. But it's getting more and more difficult to do that. And you literally are cutting yourself off from most people you know by doing that. You could go through a day and just put your phone, leave your phone at home and go through a day and see how it works out and give you a little bit, just change your perspective a little bit. But I guarantee you, you're going to be looking for it all day long. So all that to say this, we are continuing and continually running into more and more of this craziness in our society. Now, even in a good time, during good times, in other words, when you have good economy, good what's all the words I'm looking for? When things are actually in good shape. It's difficult to overcome things like a pandemic or a financial collapse or a supply chain collapse, a healthcare crisis, a financial crumbling housing market issues, labor supply, whatever, government. Debacles and a possible military attack, cyber issues. When all things are going well, any one of those things can be difficult to overcome. What we're seeing right now, folks, and I don't mean to be an alarmist, but I have to be at this point. Because it's a very alarming situation we're in right now. We are headed for what I'm calling a perfect storm. I can see it. I can't give you details. I'm not an analyst in terms of knowing the specifics and deep dive stuff into particular issues. That's not me. That's not my gift. I can give you some deep dive things into very few things. And even then, I'm kind of diving into things that I don't even know. I just only know what I'm capable of remembering, which is, I forgot what I was saying. What was I talking about? So the issue is that all these things are coming together right now. I am good at looking at the big picture. That is one of my talents. I can get a feel for what's happening in certain markets, certain venues, certain realms of our society. And I can connect the dots, so to speak, with all those things. And I can get this, I call it a gut feeling, but it's more, it goes beyond that. It's more than that. It's more of an intuition that's built on based on things that are in reality. It's not just, I feel this way, because I've always been pretty much a realist. Some people would argue with me on that. My wife would say I'm not a realist. But when somebody says, well, is the glass half empty or half full? I'll say the glass is completely full. It's half full of water and it's half full of air. That's the realism. And that's the science, folks. Because you can't look at it as, well, there's only water in the glass. This is like a guy that professor, he pulled out a big glass jar, clear, you know, you could see through it. Great big thing. And he starts and he pulls out a box of rocks. You know, some people say that you're dumber than a box of rocks. Well, in this case, the box of rocks is pretty smart. So he pulls out this box of rocks and starts putting rocks into this jar, fills it all up, gets it to the top. He says, I need to be able to put enough rocks in this thing I can close the lid. He says, now he gets it on there. He just barely gets the lid on. He says, now is this bottle completely full? Most people said, yes, it's full, because all they could see was the rocks. So then he pulls out a box of sand. He starts pouring sand in there. Gets it all the way up to the top. He shakes it, kind of gets it all vibrated down in there so it's all compacted in there really well. Gets it on there so where he can put the lid on it. He says, now is the jar completely full. See, ha-ha, like I got all you guys, didn't I? See, now I've just proved my point. Thinking that the exercise was over, almost the entire class said, yes, the jar is completely full. He takes the lid off, pulls out a pitcher of water. Starts pouring the water in there. And of course, it takes a whole bunch of it. It takes the whole pitcher. Puts the lid on top. It says, now, is the jar completely full? People were very reluctant to lift up their hands. What's he going to do next? We don't want to look like idiots anymore, because everybody, you know, everybody's so far now, especially the ones that thought the rocks were full. And the point is, there's more that we don't know. And the more we know, the more we realize we don't know. And we have to be able to see beyond our emotions, beyond our fear, beyond what we feel like, to see reality. Unfortunately, a lot of people who have mental issues, personality disorders and mental, you know, just mental disorders or emotional disorders, emotional disturbed, you know, they're just disturbed. Or addictions, even. Most times, it's a matter of there's an underlying issue, and the underlying issue typically is you don't understand yourself. You're not being honest with yourself, and you don't have a realistic view of who you are. If you ever go down that road to where you are totally honest about with yourself about who you are, you will very quickly understand and learn why Christ had to die on a cross. Because the reality of who we are, despite what everybody on the positive, you know, the positive image thing I call it a cult. Positive, affirmations, the positive affirmations. There's got to be a balance in that. And the problem is that people convince themselves, sit around, they look in the mirror and they convince themselves every day about how wonderful they are. Now, I believe everybody has an incredible potential to do good and to be way beyond what they realize they can do. Don't get me wrong on that. There's no question about it. However, at the core of every human being is this little selfish kid who wants things his way or her way. And even people who would have convinced themselves that they are not selfish, that they do everything for everybody else. I'm not saying you're this way. But there are a lot of those people, not all of them. A lot of those people are doing things for everybody else because they have a messiah complex and thinking that they're the only ones who can take care of everybody else around them. They want to actually meddle in everybody else's lives, so they have to be involved in it. They have to have their opinion known, and by golly, this is the way you're going to do this now. I have to help you. It's a good thing I'm here for you. That kind of attitude. To some extent, you could call them enablers because they're enabling other people who don't want to step up and take responsibility, their own responsibility for themselves, and they step in and do everything for them. Just saying, that's a possibility. That happens much more often than you might think. It's very easy for a person who is that they've mischanneled their good intentions, basically. I mean, they really do have good intentions for that person, but they've just misintent. They've not channeled that energy, that concern for others very well. Because at the bottom line, it comes back to what they want. They want to be the important person in that other person's life. At the end of the day, they want that person to say, I can't do this without you. So I'm kind of off on a bunny trail. I don't know if you noticed or not. So we have this situation right now where we have a perfect storm. We have the government drunk with this idea that we can continue to spend trillions upon trillions of dollars that we don't have. Now, I see Bernie Sanders is up there. He's talking about how, we have to have more than $1.5 trillion. That's just ridiculous. See, this is their money grab. This is their opportunity. They know they've got to do this right now because they're never going to have another opportunity like this. And if they don't get all this money flowing, because they really know that, here's the thing. If they have all this money floating around out there, they know, because money, to them, money is power. Okay, that's part of their, that's the ammunition, or that's the juice that keeps their power machine running. They can give money to all the NGOs, all the organizations out there. They can stock it all up so that they can, and all the, the media companies, everything that's going on out there, so that they can continue their reign of power and destroy the opposition. There are a few Democrats who are waking up to this right now. They're seeing the reality of what's going on with this ridiculous ideology. And folks, it's not going to stop. I was just, you probably heard this before. I think some other people have been talking about it. But, who would have thought, that looking at Revelation, the book of Revelation, who would have thought that at some point, we would have a society that would say, know, just not that long ago, whether a person was a believer or not, I'm talking maybe, 40 years ago, even if a person wasn't a believer, you could talk about the mark of the beast, and people knew what that was. They understood this philosophy, this mentality of you can't buy or sell without the mark. They understood that because they had some concept of what Scripture said, especially Revelation, because people were kind of infatuated with Revelation if they weren't infatuated with anything else. There were even movies, with stuff in it that had more of that kind of a tone to it from Hollywood. And in the midst of all of that, we have now, we've come to this mentality, and I would say probably more than 50% of the community, more than 50% of the society right now, is all for forcing vaccinations. And if you don't get vaccinated, you shouldn't be allowed to have a bank account. You shouldn't be allowed to go to a grocery store, any place out in public, because you're a threat. You're a threat to society. Anthony Fauci has even recently said it. Well, you have liberties, but you're also a member of society and you have a responsibility to society. No, Anthony. No. That's not the way it works. If you're sick, you're the one who has a responsibility to society to protect the society from your sickness. If you have a communicable disease, you still don't have the right to force someone to take medicine that is grossly impotent in terms of what it was supposed to be able to do. Latest report, and I wish I had it in front of me. I was going to pull this stuff up a little bit ago before I even pushed the play button and now, or the record button, and now I have not done that. Let's see if I can find it here now. New report had come out. I believe it was Israel. It may have been Vermont. I think that Vermont actually has the highest number of. It's the state with the highest percentage of vaccinated individuals, citizens, whatever you want to call it. New Zealand, by the way, has just abandoned the COVID zero strategy. Good for them, because guess what? COVID zero is not possible. I know that when this first started happening, the whole idea, the philosophy behind all this was we need to break the chain. If everybody stays down for 2 weeks, we can stop this thing because it won't spread. Well, that didn't work, did it? 2 weeks became 4 weeks. 4 weeks became a year. And we're still in the second year of this thing now with vaccines, with 70% of the population having at least one jab. Actually over that now. And we still have breakthrough cases. And the break, guess what? The breakthrough cases. Now you don't hear much about the Delta virus, Delta variant anymore, because it's not just Delta that's breaking through. Everyone's blaming Delta. You see, here's the problem we're coming down with, and this is what terrifies me about this whole thing. This is the theory that I have put together after listening to many of the experts, the health experts, the doctors, and the actual experts, people like Robert Malone, who was the forerunner of mRNA technology. Everybody who has spoken out against what's happening right now or had differing opinions about anything that's happening right now, who have been shut off by social media, and there's reasons they've been shut off. What I have put together, and this is me not knowing details of all the science, but understanding where they're coming from and what I see actually happening in the world. Here's my concern about what could potentially happen. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm saying this is the theory I've put together. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a hypothesis, a scientific hypothesis, which is just hypothetically speaking, this is what I see unfolding or potentially could unfold. So bear with me on this. It's just a theory. But it is a theory and an opinion based on knowledge that I've gathered from various sources who seem to be reasonable and rational and have some science back, you know, behind what they're saying. First of all, we're not going to have a zero case. And now I thought that that made sense initially when people said we need to break the chain. We need to stop the spread. You know, get it isolated. Initially, we didn't even have a way of testing this thing. They had no idea who had it. Everybody's just looking at each other like, oh, you got it? I don't know. He says he has the Rona. I was walking through a campground one time. This little kid, as I was walking by, I said something. There was a dead frog or something, I think, on the sidewalk, and there was a bunch of kids playing. They were looking at it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a dead frog. And there were some kids talking. One of the kids said, he might have the Rona. So, yeah, I've got the Rona. So I started walking at it like a zombie, you know, like a living dead guy. Just kind of goofing around. They all thought that was funny. So then, except for the one kid, he went running around screaming and ran off into the lake. I never saw him again. Oh, maybe I just dreamed that. I don't know. So the thing now is we discovered that this thing has what's called animal reservoirs. In other words, animals can carry it. It's in nature. Now, they don't necessarily respond to it. They your dog or your pet or your cat can carry the Rona for a little while. And it doesn't necessarily kill them or even affect them that bad. They don't have the same symptoms necessarily, but they can carry. There are animals that can carry this thing. It's like bats. They can carry this thing. The coronavirus itself has been around for a long, long, long time, longer than we've known it's been there, before we even knew what a virus was. This particular one, I think, was developed in a lab and put into society, probably with the express engineering to develop a variant. At some point, they knew probably when it hit a particular blood type or a particular DNA type, that it was going to create a variant and it was going to be like a second wave. Maybe there's a trigger point that it goes to a third wave. I don't know. I think that was, personally, that's my theory. I think it was engineered. I really do. Now, that's just my opinion. Of course, if you would have said that it came from a lab before, you'd have been labeled a conspiracy theorist and you would have been banned from all social media. Now, if you say it came from a wet market, now you're the conspiracy theorist because we know it came from a lab. If you say it came from a lab deliberately, now you're a conspiracy theorist until next week when they realize that China did this deliberately. If anybody ever finds out that China did this deliberately, it would be curtains for China. We'd be at war with China. Everybody would be at war with China. Well, most countries. So I just heard this guy the other day talking about how, you know, usually when there's an outbreak like this, the country where the outbreak happens is usually the one that has the least problems. Historically, he had a couple different examples. Of course, he didn't mention Ebola. And he had some good thoughts about some things, but most of what he was saying was just pure bunk. It was all based on emotion. You could tell it was a talking point. It was a narrative. This was not based on science. Not at all. But his theories were okay. I mean, he had some general hypothesis that was probably okay. At the same time, there was no science to back it up. It was all conjecture. And I wish he would have, you know, at least said that. So now New Zealand apparently has now abandoned this idea that they're going to have zero, because they're an island, you know, so you'd think if they could get it stopped. Of course, now Hawaii has an incredible outbreak and they can't get it stopped there. New Zealand, of course, has an outbreak. Now, the thing that's scary right now, and this is what I'm going to get to before I close the show, is this. There is a country with the highest vaccinated population per capita. The number of hospitalizations now. The highest number of cases is, of course, with people who have had the vaccine. Now, here's my theory. Bear with me because this is kind of complicated. If you have not had coronavirus and you get the vaccine, and then you get coronavirus. Okay, first of all, yes, you can get coronavirus if you've had the vaccine. So you've had the vaccine, so you got your double dose. It's been more than 2 weeks since your last one, and now you, all of a sudden you get coronavirus. Supposedly, you will not have as bad of symptoms. You're probably less likely to be hospitalized for it. Probably. I say probably because we don't know how many people got it before all the testing started. We don't know how many people got it who didn't even go to the hospital, just thought they had a cold. So we don't know really what the percentage numbers are there. However, here's the other thing. Of course, now we have, so you're fully vaccinated. Here's the other issue. You can also spread it. And this is where I think that the media is doing us a disservice, incredible disservice, because the narrative itself is that you got to be vaccinated because that's going to stop the virus. And the honest truth is, it is not stopping the virus. If we want to say, get the vaccine, you got a better chance of survival. That's fine, because that's the truth. Getting the vaccine because you're protecting everyone else is bull. You are no more a threat for not having the vaccine than someone who has had the vaccine, because you can spread it to someone who's compromised just as easily, as far as we know, as someone who has not had the vaccine. Now, especially someone who has had coronavirus who didn't have the vaccine. Here is where it gets sticky with me, and this is where I'm getting really concerned because of the numbers that I'm seeing and the things that are being reported now. This report that's saying that the vaccinated people are now the higher of the population going into hospitalization. If you had not had coronavirus, because there's several different scenarios here. Let's say you had never had coronavirus and you take the vaccine and now you get coronavirus. Will your body be able to develop its own immunity to coronavirus? Or are you going to be dependent on the mRNA vaccine? This is a question that's an underlying question that nobody's talking about this. What happens with natural immunity if you've had the vaccine? This is the problem that Dr. Robert Malone was alluding to. I'm not even sure if he was actually asking this question when he said it, but it's what sparked my underlining issue with this thing. Because when he was saying that he believes, this is his suspicion, that they're not actually using spike protein to develop immunity against the virus. They're using what's called cytotoxicity. In other words, the body builds up a cytotoxicity to the virus. As long as you've got that shot in your body, which will dissipate over time, your body is reacting with a cytotoxicity that is going to kill off the virus if you come in contact with the virus acquire the virus during the time that cytotoxicity is happening. It will fight off the virus as well. The problem with that is that's not developing immunity. Your body is not fighting it off in a natural way. It's not developing natural immunity because your body is fighting it off with cytotoxicity. So there's two different things that are happening there. Now, this is the way I'm understanding it, and I could be totally blown, totally off with this whole thing. I could be totally misunderstanding and misrepresenting what he was saying and misunderstanding what everything. So I want to be very clear about that. This is my opinion and my theory, and this is where I think things are going. Where I hope things are not going, actually. because we're approaching a very serious issue here, and that is one of immunization collapse. In other words, our immune system's collapsing. So now they're saying that the vaccine, now the studies that they're showing, the vaccine basically wears off within about 6 months. Actually, 4 months, it starts to lose a significant amount of effectiveness. They're pushing for boosters now, a third shot, to be in, you know, populations over 60, which is gonna, that's gonna go, you know, that's gonna go down again. They are pushing. Here's what's just it's just insanity, in my opinion. They're talking about jabbing children as little as 6 months old. Why? The rate of hospitalization among anybody under 25 is absolutely negligible. You have a better chance of dying. A person under 25 has a better chance of dying from an infection in their toe than they do from this virus. Why? Why the push? And the military. Folks, this concerns me greatly. What would happen if all of a sudden we find out that in the next year that they are all immunocompromised and there's nothing we can do about it? Their immune systems have collapsed and they're all now autoimmune. What do we do with the military that's been decimated like that? What happens to our country? Well, we're being overrun now by a group of people who are probably about 20% infected, who possibly could have all kinds of, there's all kinds of sickness. I just talked to a pilot the other day that was very upset. He was getting ready to go down to Houston. He was going to try to get to another country or another country, another town where he was going to be flying out, and they were doing, it was a private charter company. It's an on-demand type thing. They're a fairly large company. They do have scheduled air carriers as well, but they travel all over the country. They fly bigger stuff. And he was saying he was not happy about it. He was going down to a particular town in Texas where they were going to fly out refugees. They're going to fly them to someplace else in the country. Yes, they are repositioning people from the border to other parts of the country, our country, this country, not flying them back, flying them here, further inside to be processed. Why don't you just spend the same amount of money and fly them back to their country? Well, anyway, the problem is, he said that every pilot crew, every flight crew he had talked to who has done any of these flights, this is the first one he was going to do, and he wasn't happy about it. Every crew he had talked to, within days after doing the trip, they were sick. There is a tremendous amount of, when you have that kind of an influx, there's a reason we have immigration. And this whole thing about path to citizenship, if just a real quick note, Kristen Sinema, I guess she was going to the bathroom someplace, and this couple of illegal immigrants followed her into the bathroom and were videoing her and accosting her and basically telling her that, hey, we helped get you voted in. We knocked on doors. Okay, this is a person coming from another country knocking on doors to affect our election. This is called election meddling from another country. Oh, but they're just these little immigrants that want to come. Yeah, okay. That's great. Maybe some Russians want to come over here and do the same thing. They'll knock on doors and convince you to vote for a particular candidate. They'll be okay with that as long as it's a Democrat candidate. So they're videotaping her in the bathroom, which is against the law. They're in the country illegally, which is against the law. And they're harassing a state senator, which is got to be at least a misdemeanor. You know, talk about an insurrection. So, of course, if that would have been AOC, it would have been, she'd have been crying and you know, they were trying to rape me and whatever, you know, anything that she could do to get sympathy from people, because that justifies what she's saying. She says, see how evil they are. But nothing's being said about this much at all, other than, you know, the right-wing media. So this lady follows her in there. And the one thing that she was saying, that she kept saying was, we need a path to citizenship. I couldn't go down and see my grandpa passed away 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't go down there because if I did that, I wouldn't be able to get back in. I'd be stuck down there. Oh, you're stuck. You'd be stuck in a country that's not hateful and racist and bigoted like this country is. How terrible for you. So this country is so terrible that you want to be here. You don't want to leave because you can't get back in. Why do you want to be here so badly? Because of free health care? Because of the freebies? Well, because it's the land of the free. Well, not for much longer if you keep voting for these people. So she says this, path to citizenship. You need a path to citizenship. Let's just call it what it is, lady. You want amnesty. You don't want to have to jump through any hoops. You don't want to have to qualify. You don't have to fill out any paperwork. You don't want to do anything required. You just want to be blanket amnesty. Just somebody to stand in the Capitol and say, I now declare you all citizens. That's what you want. Because there is a path to citizenship, and a lot of people have taken it, and you disrespect all of them for having gone through all those efforts, all those things that they did to become a citizen. And I'm very proud of them for doing so, by the way. That makes me proud to be an American because of the system that we have, and that people will go through those lengths and those that they work so hard to be a part of what this country stands for. And then you have people coming here who have no idea what this country is about. They don't understand personal individual liberties at all. Want to come here and just be Americans because they made it here. I find it incredibly insulting. On behalf of all the people who came here legally and did it the right way, it's incredibly insulting. And the chutzpah, whatever that is, that you have to go and harass a U.S. senator in a bathroom, posted on social media, about you needing a path to citizenship. There is a path, and you just didn't want to take it. That's too hard. It's too difficult. I made it here. Now you need to accept me. It's baloney. These people are not being screened for COVID or any other kind of variants. And this is what gets me. This is where this all happens. This is the kind of crap that happens. Now, studies are showing, on some good news, if you have had coronavirus, studies are showing, now you're not completely immune to anything. You can get coronavirus again. But your immunity to this particular strain, and even Delta, is now, they're showing that it's now at least a year, probably well over a year, that you have robust antibodies. Now, here's my question. This is what concerns me most. If you have antibodies, if you've had the coronavirus and you have antibodies and you take this vaccination, how does that affect your natural immunity? Personally, I'm very concerned about this. Because of the people that I know who have gotten coronavirus twice, they are people who had coronavirus once and then got vaccinated. And then they got it again. I know very few people, and I don't even know anybody personally, that has had coronavirus, verifiably so, and gotten it again. I've heard of people like that. I've heard of people, several people gotten several times. So somebody said they got it four or five times. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if it's possible that you can touch enough time in their life to get things been around long enough for that to get it recover. Something you're doing something wrong at that point. You're apparently not wearing your mask very tight. I guarantee you those people are probably wearing their masks like crazy. So here's my concern. This is what I see happening. And this is where I think that we're going to run into trouble. That this vaccine has not turned out to be what we thought it was going to be, first of all. And secondly, it may actually have the opposite effect. It may actually cause a weakness in our body that we become dependent upon some kind of vaccination or some kind of ongoing treatment. And what effect is that going to have on us on a long-term basis? Let's say everybody has to have the vaccine every 6 months or we're going to, you know, succumb to this thing. To, you know, eradicate us or to prevent us from getting a disease that's got a 99.5% survival rate among the general population. And with good therapeutics, we could probably put that to 99.98%. In fact, if they spent $20 billion on therapeutics, I bet we could, just to develop a therapeutic, I bet we could find one that would probably work for 100% of the population out there. Now, here's the thing. People are going to die. I don't know if you realize this or not. They're saying that like 2,000 people have died. They're going by daily deaths now, or something that I guess. And here's how this vaccine, here's how this virus works. And I've seen this time and time again. There's an outbreak, it spikes, and then all of a sudden, you know, the cases increase, and then all of a sudden they drop off like a rock. Drop like a rock falling from the sky. And that's exactly what is happening now. They're saying, oh, look at the numbers are going down like crazy. We're heading in the right direction. But let's not get too optimistic. Okay, this is the way it has happened. Why they cannot just put one chart over another? This is like the third wave now, third or fourth, fifth wave, whatever we had. And it's always this way. There's a huge outbreak. It increases in numbers in a certain sector of the population or within a certain amount of time. And then it drops off. It drops off faster than it actually spread. The burnout is incredibly fast. And this happens every time. And people, it's like they have no memory at all of anything that's happening. It's like, do you not remember that we just did this? You know, the news media gets all excited, like it's going to happen. It's going, oh, look, everybody's dying. Everybody's going, oh, look, this is great because we got great news coverage. Everybody needs to tune into our channel now so we can sell more advertising. Oh, yeah, so cases are down. Shoot. Oh, cases are down in Florida. Let's not talk about that. Let's just talk about how bad DeSantis is. Don't go to Florida. They've got no regulations down there. You know, they are the third most vaccinated state in the country. Anybody ever talk about that? The third most vaccinated state. And they have, like they're like number five on the chart for having the least amount of cases prior to the vaccinations. They have no restrictions, and they're fighting against mask mandates and vaccination mandates. So don't give me this baloney that somehow Florida is more dangerous to be in. There's a lady in New York, lost her job, and lost everything. Got kicked out of her apartment because she wasn't vaccinated. She ended up homeless. And she was able to get to Florida. She's hoping to be able to rebuild her life there. I tell you, people are moving to Florida and Texas and other countries, other states that are relaxing this mandate, this, you know, chokehold that they're putting on people. They're leaving. People are moving there in droves. There is a sifting process going on in our country right now, whether you like it or not. It's happening. You know, at the same time that they're moving basically small towns, small groups of they're trying to turn red states purple and purple states blue. And there's just by the sheer onset of let's bring, 5,000 people in and put them there and put 5,000 people there and then get them all to vote because we can use all their IDs for voting, whether they realize they're voting or not. Because we want to mail out a ballot to every single person, every single voter, not citizen, just every voter. We might send a few duplicates out too, just in case. Or we might not even send them out. We might just fill them out here at the office and put them in for ourselves. That's what we're finding out in Arizona. Regardless of what you've been told by the legacy media, that's what's going on there. This show has gone on a lot longer than I thought. Boy, I just I went from telling little stories about my life to getting into this stuff. We have a vaccine that does not stop you from getting COVID. It does not stop you from spreading COVID. It may potentially reduce your symptoms initially for 4 to 8 months. Let those things soak into you when you again hear them say, you've got to get vaccinated. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and it's the reason it's spreading is because of the unvaccinated. You're the reason people are dying. You're killing the world by not getting vaccinated. I'm not so sure about that. But regardless of all of that, God is still on the throne. He's in control of his kingdom. He's marching forward. And he will not cease. God bless everybody. Have a great day.